Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good defense. Lead pass.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Should his jersey be hanging from the rafters come January? We will discuss, of course, talking about Derrick Rose, and going to be talking about the Chicago Bulls next with my guest who joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good friend of the show. Glad he's on today, and more importantly, I'm glad I get to talk Bulls. Sports anchor, reporter, ABC7, co-host of Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with the guy who you just heard, Stacey King. Also does play-by-play for the Windy City Bulls, talking about none other than the legend, Mark Schudnowski. Mark, good to talk to you again, brother.
Yeah, Gabe, good to talk with you as well. This is my time of year with basketball season starting up.
Yeah, and it's when I get excited as well. And, you know, Media Day was just here, so it felt... I mean, for those fanatics like myself, felt good to see the guys at least happy in the present. Zach LaVine, though, he looked in shape. I know he's a guy that works out a lot, but I don't know if it's his age and he's coming into manhood, like real manhood, late 20s manhood. But he looked pretty healthy and good at that press conference, outside of what he was actually saying with his words.
Yeah, in addition to getting his legs in shape, he also did some work in the weight room. I mean, he was jacked. Zach looked about as in good a shape as we've seen since he first came into the league. And I think that he's out to send a message to all the people out there that are kind of counting him out and thinking that he's well past his prime. Hey, you know, he's only 29 years old. He's a two-time All-Star. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago he was consistently putting in 25 points a game. So I think he's going to come out with a vengeance, not only to try to show Bulls fans, but also executives around the league that, hey, you didn't want to trade for me. Maybe you should have done something, because I can still do some damage on the offensive end.
And is there something you can do about it right now in the present for me? But when you look at LaVine, there is a void on this Chicago Bulls team when it comes to leadership with the loss of DeMar DeRozan. How do you think LaVine's leadership will evolve this season? And how important is that role in keeping the Bulls competitive?
Well, I was very impressed with what Zach did. You know, before anybody could even ask a question, he said, I got a couple of things I want to say. And he talked for about 3 minutes and just basically laid out exactly what was on his mind about some of the narratives that had been associated with him, that he and his agent were looking to get moved to another team and they weren't happy with Billy Donovan and so many other things that had been out in the media. He said, I'm happy to be here. I'm in great shape, probably as healthy as I've been in a couple of years, and I want to play with this group. So I thought that he kind of set the tone for training camp and the start of the season by just dismissing all the talk that he's unhappy, that there was some kind of internal feud or strife with the team. He says, we've got a good group of guys. He's ready to show that he can play as well as he ever has. And I think that was really important because you mentioned DeRozan leaving. DeMar was fantastic in the 3 years here, but one of the things with DeRozan and Vooch, you kind of had a walk-it-up kind of style. You know, you had to play to DeMar's strengths, which were in the mid-range, and Vooch, of course, is also going to be playing in the low post or at the free-throw line. So you weren't really getting as many fast-break opportunities as maybe you would have liked. And I know that when Billy Donovan coached in Oklahoma City, he liked three-guard lineups, teams that could get up and down the floor and get some transition baskets, and we didn't see as much of that, particularly after Lonzo Ball got hurt, you know, 2.5 years ago. So now with Ball returning, with Josh Giddey as a kind of a pass-first point guard who can look out ahead of the fast break and get some buckets, I think it's going to be a different style. You know, DeMar was fantastic, especially late in games. He was consistently among the top fourth-quarter scorers in the NBA in his time here. And that you're going to miss that. There's no question about it. But I think in terms of a fan approach, you know, for a team that's not contending for anything, to see a team play fast, play aggressively, play with young guys, I think they're going to be fun to watch this season.
And it's going to be interesting to see how ball control is handled, right? LaVine typically has been ball dominant in recent years when he's on the floor, establishing the offense, you know, from the top or the wing. But with the addition, as you mentioned, of Josh Giddey, Lonzo being capable off the bench, how do you think LaVine's usage and playmaking responsibilities are going to shift?
I don't think he's going to have the ball in his hands maybe as much as we've seen in the past. I don't think they're going to turn him into an isolation player. I think what they're going to try to do is to have multiple ball handlers, and whoever gets the ball off the glass, you know, get the ball in the outlet and push it up court as fast as you can. I mean, right now it looks like they're going to probably start Giddey, Kobe White, and Zach LaVine in a three-guard lineup, and any of those three, after a defensive rebound, can bring the ball up court and facilitate if you're running a three-on-two fast break or you have numbers in transition. I don't think that they're necessarily going to be constantly calling plays for Zach just to break down his defender and isolate one-on-one. I think it's going to be more of an equal opportunity offense. But saying that, because Zach's in great shape and he can run the floor and finish at the rim as well as anybody, he's going to get a lot of baskets in transition. And then, you know, whether he averages 20 points a game or 25 points a game, I think some of those points will come a lot easier.
Yeah, hopefully he's putting up, you know, 8 to 10 three-pointers, too, somewhere along those lines in that thing.
Yeah, because they don't have many guys to do that.
Right, going to need that. LaVine was also vocal about it, improving his defense during media day. I mean, we know what he can do on the offensive side of the ball, but what should fans realistically expect? I mean, because to me, Mark, I look at Zach and I think, you know, if you don't watch the games, then you can, you know, falsely throw out the narrative that he plays no defense. But he's kind of like that sneaky defender, kind of like a Kyle Korver, where he has the narrative that he's not playing defense, but he'll find those moments to be a good defender. What do you think fans should expect in terms of his defensive impact on the team this season?
Well, people remember at not this year's Olympics, but the previous Olympics, where Greg Popovich kind of used him as a defensive player off the bench, and Zach really took well to that role. There's no questioning his athletic ability. He's got quick hands. He should be able to play the passing lanes and get some steals. And if he's motivated to play on that end, he can be a disruptor. The thing that happens too often with Zach is, you know, he's a solid defender on the ball, but too often when the ball's on the other side of the floor, that's where he kind of gets caught ball watching and back cut and not really tracking where guys are on the weak side of the floor. And I think that's the area where he needs to improve the most. And I know that Billy Donovan has been hard on him at times for not, you know, really applying himself on the defensive end of the court. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. He's going to have to come out this year and show that he's willing to play at both ends and be a leader for this team, because you're going to have guys on the court that are, you know, 25 or younger. And Zach at 29, who's got 10 years in the league, is going to be one of the most experienced guys out there. So they're going to be counting on him to provide some leadership as well as scoring.
That's a great point, and he certainly needs to lead by example, because there are going to be young players there, specifically Matis Buzelis, drafted with the 11th pick. Do you think he's going to get meaningful minutes this season, or do you think his development is going to take place majority in the G League?
That's an interesting point. I don't know exactly how it's going to shake out. I mean, we saw Bozelis at Media Day in the first couple of days of training camp, and you're intrigued by his potential. You know, he's 6'10". He almost looks like, you know, a young giraffe. He's very extremely tall, extremely long, but he's very thin. And I'm sure that the Bulls want to make sure that he gets a good year or two in the weight room before they really see exactly what kind of player they have. You know, the one thing that's interesting about this squad, that even though the Bulls aren't projected to be a top eight team in the East, they do have a lot of depth. You know, they brought in Jalen Smith, who's going to, you know, back up Vooch at the center position. And, you know, they brought in Chris Duarte as well in the DeRozan trade. You've got a lot of guys that are going to be competing for minutes. And I think that's going to make for an interesting dilemma for Billy Donovan. Who gets the minutes if you're only going nine deep? You know, you got players, young guys like Julian Phillips and Dalen Terry, who are going to have to fight just to get on the court on a given night. And then you have veterans like Javon Carter and Torrey Craig, who may not play at all. So it's going to be interesting choices for Billy Donovan. I think we'll find out during the preseason what they expect to get out of Bozelis. You know, if he shines, if he gets extended minutes in preseason, maybe he begins opening night in the rotation. But if he kind of shows that he needs some more time to adjust to the speed and the strength of the NBA, then they might just decide to let him get some minutes in the G League early on and give some minutes to Torrey Craig at that backup forward spot.
Yeah, they got a lot of bodies that they're looking to bring in and make an impact. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Talking to Mark Schanowski here on 670 The Score, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you till 9 o'clock. The front court rotation, I mean, obviously, you know, Andre Drummond leaves. They bring in Jalen Smith. That seems to be like an important role for the Chicago Bulls team and has been for the last couple of years. What do you envision for him, and can he fill in that void that's left over by Andre Drummond?
Well, as you mentioned at the top of the show, you know, I do a podcast with Stacey King every week, and Stacey's always been high on Jalen Smith. You know, back when he was moved from Phoenix to Indiana,
really?
Remember Stacey saying, boy, I wish we would have got him because, you know, he liked what he saw of him in his minutes in his first or second year with the Phoenix Suns. And then he thrived playing in Indiana, you know, playing with a playmaker like Tyrese Halliburton. And I think that with the Bulls, you know, Vooch's minutes, they're going to probably try to keep him in that 28 to 30 range. And I think Jalen Smith will get a lot of run. He's a really good three-point shooter, which gives him another dimension with that second unit. And he met the media today after training camp practice, and he said the most important things for him are to show his versatility on defense and to run the court. He said a lot of big guys don't like to run, but I thrive on that. And going back to our earlier point, with Giddey as your point guard, maybe with Lonzo Ball coming back, if a big man runs the floor, he's going to be rewarded, hopefully, with a dunk in transition and an easy bucket. I think Jalen Smith has got a lot of potential, and I think he's going to be a nice fit with this Bulls team.
Do you see situations where, you know, do you envision a situation where, you know, Jalen is playing either the 4 or 5 and Vooch is playing the 4 if they're on the floor at the same time? Where I know that was an issue last season because they kind of were similar players with the dichotomy between the two. Can you see that working out for the Bulls at some point?
Only in very limited situations. You know, if you're playing a team that has a really tall front line, you know, if you're playing Denver or the Knicks when they've got, you know, their big guys, if they're playing Towns and Mitchell Robinson together. You know, I think if you've got a team that's really got a couple of big guys up front, maybe you would experiment with that because Jalen Smith is more versatile defensively and he's got that added three-point dimension. So I think you could do that in limited occasions, but Donovan's preference is to play with a smaller lineup, and, you know, this is a guard-heavy roster. So I would think that would only be in lineup matchup situations where maybe you would go with that big lineup. But I think for the most part, you're going to see three guards on the floor with Patrick Williams and one of the two centers.
Yeah, and speaking of Patrick Williams, obviously the four that they're going to be relying on heavily to continue shooting the three-point shot at a high mark and run up and down the court and clean stuff up. He signed the big contract extension. I don't even want to have the conversation of what leap or what you expect from him. I'm more interested in your thoughts initially from the Patrick Williams signing.
Well, Patrick met the media yesterday and, you know, he was really enthusiastic. You know, sometimes when he does interviews, he's kind of monotone and doesn't really say a whole lot. He seemed very enthusiastic about being on this young group, a team that's kind of taking a new direction. And he feels, I think, that he's going to have a prominent role. Part of the reason is because he was given that big contract extension. You know, people look at the raw numbers and go, wow, that's a lot of money for a guy that, you know, averages 10 points a game. But when you look at the way the salary cap is exploding and how salaries are rising around the league, it's really not out of line for a guy who's one of your starting players. You know, like you mentioned, it's impossible for us to predict exactly what his mindset's going to be and how aggressive, which is always the word that's associated with Patrick Williams, how aggressive is he going to be on the offensive end. But with DeMar gone, you know, he may get more touches in the mid-post. He may get some of those plays run in his direction. I would look for his scoring average to increase this season. But the key is he's got to stay healthy. You know, he missed an entire season with a broken wrist, and then he had the foot injury last year. He's got to be on the court to show what he can do. And he's still a very young player, but this is the year that he needs to prove that he can be not only a member of the starting five, but he can be a guy that other teams have to worry about when they game plan against the Bulls.
Yeah, it was also cool to hear him talk about, you know, being out of the game and how much it meant to him and understanding it. There's always those moments when you're like, yeah, basketball, you love it. Don't forget, you love it and you miss it. And when you're away from it via an injury, you really can't wait to get back and play it at a high level. The Bulls made a lot of moves in this offseason, brought different bodies in. Of all the moves they made, which one did you like the best and why? Chris Duarte?
I think probably the Jalen Smith one because of all the reasons that we mentioned. You know, Vooch had a tough year last year. He did not shoot the three-point ball well at all. He's getting up there in age, and I think they needed a new look at that center position. For all the good things Andre Drummond did, you know, he's more of a slower, lumbering kind of center. And I think Smith gives them a different dimension. You know, we mentioned the team really needs three-point shooting, and that's something that Smith can provide. Obviously, you know, you lose a player like Alex Caruso, and that's a killer. But, you know, I had a chance to broadcast a couple of games filling in for Adam against Oklahoma City. And watching Josh Giddey at court level, you know, you're really impressed with this kid because he's a legit 6'8", really has excellent court vision. The two knocks on him, not a great three-point shooter, not a great defender. And those are two big minuses. But the things that he can do with the ball in his hands and the fact he's only 21 years old, I think fans are going to really like Josh Giddey. So I would say the Giddey addition is probably the most important, but because you lost Alex Caruso at the same time, you know, you can't really say that was the best move because you would have hoped that they would have maybe gotten a draft pick as well from OKC. But the Giddey move is the most significant, and we'll see how well he pans out because you have to remember this is the last year of his rookie contract. And, you know, assuming that he has a good season and stays healthy, he's going to want a lot of money to re-sign. And then, of course, you start looking at the salary cap. So there's a lot at stake for Josh Giddey to come out and play really well this year.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Josh Giddey ends up being or having the same effect that DeMar DeRozan had, where you're familiar with, you know, what he can do on the basketball court. But when you see it day in and day out, like we're able to see DeMar over the last 3 years, you get an opportunity to marvel at it in a different way. And I'm hoping that, you know, Josh Giddey, the floor general, really surprises us, kind of like how Lonzo did too, in that situation.
Can you imagine if you have Giddey and Lonzo as a 1-2 punch at point guard, and they're throwing the ball out ahead, and LaVine is healthy and he's running and dunking, and
don't get me excited, Mark. Don't get me excited, Mark. Don't get me excited.
They're going to score a lot of points. The question, of course, is the defensive end, and that's something that Billy Donovan's very candid talking about. That's going to be an issue, and they're going to have to try to. You know, everybody's going to have to look out for each other and try to hold up on that defensive end because they don't have that rim protector. And, you know, they've got guys in the backcourt that are not elite defenders. So, you know, they're going to be playing a lot of 120 to 115 games. And those are, you know, that comes down to who's hotter from the three-point range. And when it comes down to a shooting contest, you know, sometimes those games get kind of crazy at the end.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, the games, like last year, they were at least always competitive in the fourth quarter, regardless of the outcome. They were always competitive. Hopefully they can be that way this year. Yeah. And hopefully you and Stacey can have a lot to talk about on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. Mark, I wanted to ask you something about that, you know, and it's that, you know, you've been around Chicago or sports media for such a long time. And it's evolved so much over the years, especially with social media, digital platforms. And I'm curious, you know, like how you've adapted personally over the years. Like, do you miss anything from the old school ways or you know, with the podcast and the way you guys are getting things out there? Do you like what it's come to in the present?
Well, the way it used to be, especially when I first came to Chicago back in 1990, there was such a competition among local stations and people were trying to break news and get the best feature stories and get the most exclusive interviews. Now everything's so homogenized. You know, the teams have taken control of the messaging. So now, you know, with almost any sport, with almost every team, they bring the coach and the players to the podium in a news conference situation. Everybody, you know, is allowed to ask their questions. And then you know, pretty much every station, whether it's television or radio or even newspapers, they get the same quotes. You know, there's no real competition for that inside angle. I mean, some of the beat writers get a little more access in the locker room and stuff, and they make it some stuff that the broadcast media doesn't get. But it's really changed. And, you know, going back to the days when I was working at Channel 7 initially back in the 90s, we got so much time for sports. We had a half-hour sports wrap-up show at 10:30 on Sundays, and we would do long-form features, and those have gone away. So yeah, that I miss that. Those were fun to do. You know, we would tell stories about high school and local college athletes, and you could really kind of expand on things. Now everything is quick, and if you happen to, you know, if you had three TVs up and you're watching 2, 5 and 7, you know, on the 5 or 6 o'clock news, you'd probably see the exact same newscast on all three stations, and that's kind of sad.
So let me ask you this then. So what is, as someone who's been in this space and sees what it has now evolved to, this homogenous state, what do you think is a defining indicator that separates, you know, what rises to the top and what does not?
Well, now, you know, sports media is totally personality driven. You know, just the most recent example, you know, you and I are both NBA fans, and Zach Lowe is one of the best content creators in the industry. And he was let go by ESPN. The reason being, he doesn't yell and scream and make outlandish comments like so many of their on-air personnel do.
True.
And so they decided that who's going to go? We need to cut a little payroll. Let's get rid of the guy who knows the most about basketball and is the most informative, and we'll keep all the yellers and screamers. That kind of thing, you know, as an old school guy, really rubs me the wrong way. And Zach will land on his feet. He'll get a great gig somewhere else. I mean, obviously NBC and Prime are going to have the NBA in a year, and I'm sure both of those outlets are trying to sign him as we speak.
Great stuff. Great advice. Always enjoy talking NBA with you, Mark, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Gabe, it was a real pleasure. Always enjoy your show. Best of luck, and I hope we can do it again soon.
Likewise. Mark Schanowski, best of the best. Of course, you can catch him on the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey King. And if you make your way and are watching Windy City Bulls, he is your play-by-play guy for that as well. All right, I'm going to do some Derrick Rose stuff at the tail end. I didn't want to get into the big debate. I know kind of sort of how he feels about that. But tail end of the hour, we're going to be listening to some people sing Derrick Rose's swan song at their introductory press conferences and of the sort. Going to throw back to a Jabari Parker clip that was pretty awesome, too. We'll get to that in just a second. But on the other side, I want to do a little bit more Bears talk. A little Bears. Curious what you think Bears is going to happen on Sunday. Bears are favored by 3.5. Some books got them at 4. I said the question I asked at the beginning of the show was, when was the last time you felt confident or about a Bears victory going into the weekend? So I want to know what you think is going to happen. I need that point total. 312-644-6767. You tell me what you think the score of the Bears game is, and I'll ask you some follow-up questions about the squad.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, I want to hang with you. Your phone calls after the break. Again, 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez. Right here on The Score.
We're back, live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Bears take on the Panthers this weekend. What do you think the score will be? Not 670 The Score, just your predicted score. And don't forget, before Chicago takes on Carolina, tune in Sunday morning from 9 to noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. Join Lawrence Holmes, Olin Kreutz, and Patrick Manley as they get set for the game live from Wonderverse in Oak Brook. Then immediately following the game, Loho, Olin, and Manley will have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips post-game show presented by Sony Pictures Wonderverse Chicago. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. All right, I'm taking phone calls because I want predictions, all right? And this is why. Because when I was at the Texans game. When the Bears left Houston, everyone was like, what the hell is going on with the Bears? And then I came on The Score and said, you looked at the schedule before the season and thought the Bears would be 1-1. How did you think they were going to lose the game? You're so upset that they lost, but you predicted it. And you're still upset because they didn't lose the way you wanted them to lose. So now, going into this weekend where I've asked the question, when was the last time you were confident about a Bears victory? Like, surefire, they are going to win. Not how are they going to win, but they are going to win. And that's what we're experiencing this weekend. So I want, like, score predictions, and then we're going to talk about how we got to where we got to go. Let's first go to Dave. Dave, you're going to be watching on Sunday, and when the final whistle hits, what will the score be?
How you doing, Gabe?
Chilling.
I think the score is going to be 31-17 Bears.
Bears are going to put up 31 points?
Yep, I think they can do it. I know they can do it.
Who's scoring the touchdowns, Dave?
Well, I think DJ Moore.
Okay.
And
you got three more.
Who's the other one?
Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet.
I think we'll do it. We can take this team. It's in Chicago. There's no reason we should lose.
Dave, you worried about Andy Dalton or no? Not in the least bit. I can tell. Not in the least bit. It's okay. 31's a lot. 31 is a lot of points. A lot of tutties. A lot of drives that that result in tutties. Let's go to Jake. Jake, you also think the Panthers are going to put up 17, but how many do you think the Bears are going to put up?
So I think the Bears are going to win 27-17. I think Caleb's going to have himself a good game, probably around 225 yards, two touchdowns, I'm thinking. I just don't see why we ain't going to win this, you know, game by double digits. I know some people are down and out after the Texans and the Colts, but, you know, Colts are a 9-18. They're a lot better than what we all thought. They beat the Steelers.
True.
You know, we beat the Rams pretty handedly with them beating the Niners. And Stafford's just on another level than Andy Dalton, man. I mean, I'm not worried about Andy in the least bit, call that cocky or disrespectful, but, you know, I'm sorry. Matthew Stafford's 10 times a quarterback that man is.
I hear you.
Held 18 points, so.
Let me ask you this. Jay. Take a breath. Let me ask you this. When you look at 27 points, you're talking about five times you have the Bears in plus territory putting points on the board. They've yet to do that all season long.
Yeah, I hear you there, but they got 24 against the Rams, right? So, and the Panthers are even the worst pass rushing defense. I think Caleb's going to have a lot more time to throw. And, you know, I just see him get a couple touchdowns, a rushing touchdown, and a couple field goals. I think the defense is so good, man, that we're going to end up in plus territory maybe two times off of them alone.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it. So, I like it. Thanks for the call, Jake. I appreciated it. You know what team in the NFC North has an interception in each of their first four games? The Packers. Interceptions in each of the – that's crazy. You know how hard it is to get an interception in the NFL? Like, some guys don't get it all year. They get, like, one a season. Packers have four. Or they have, like, more than four, actually. But they have at least one in every game. And the Bears are capable of doing it. What I like the most about the game against the Rams is that the Bears scored a touchdown after the turnover. That separates – the mid-level teams from the good teams. Not to the great teams. Great teams, you got to have everything operating at a high level. But to get out of that middle of the pack, that any given Sunday team, and to get to where the Bears are at right now, which is you have confidence that the Bears will win on Sunday. It's not even confidence. You're like, yeah. It is matter of fact. You're like, yes, the Bears, yes. If the Bears lose on Sunday, there's a problem. That's what I'm saying. When was the last time we were in that space? Not if the Bears lose, we're in trouble, or if the Bears lose, Coach Eberflus is going to get fired, or if the Bears lose, Justin Fields isn't the guy. I'm talking about if the Bears lose, what the hell happened? That's what I'm talking about. But that's why I'm taking your score projections and predictions. 312-644-6767. Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you guys for another half hour. Let's go to Don on the west side. Don, you got 27, just like my guy Jake. But you got to tell me what your whole score is.
Yeah, 27-13. And then, like Jake, you know, we great minds think alike. Because I was thinking, you know, Caleb would be, you know, responsible for, you know, two touchdowns. I'd say either two passing, maybe one with his legs, or one passing, however it comes. I think that the running backs are going to get one. And then, of course, like as you say, with the, you know, the plus territory thing, I'm accounting for the defense to, you know, make Andy Dalton make a mistake and give us good field position. You know, then you got Torrey Taylor that's going to flip field. So, you know, we have a great chance of having good field position this game. Also, you can't leave out my man Santos. I think that when the offense does falter after some of that good field position, he'll be ready to kick some field goals. So,
I think that
we should win this game 27-13.
Don, check this out. Breathe. I want you to breathe, too. I know what it's like to call into a radio station because a lot of times you don't get an opportunity to have a conversation, so you got to get it in. But I'm not like that. You know that, mm-hmm. Don. We've talked before.
All right.
Talk to me about, because we have talked before, and I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, we talked a lot about Justin Fields last year, Don. Me and you. We had these talks.
Oh, you remember that, huh?
Don, I know who I talk to. I'm still a Chicago guy that knows my people. So, so now that you've had a little bit of Caleb Williams, I'm curious, man. What you thinking?
So, man, what I see from Caleb, it's growth, man. Like, as a quarterback, you know, you gotta pay attention to, you know, all the things going on. We're not used to a quarterback coming to a line, scanning the defense, instantly alert, you know, adjust and change the play or make adjustments. So, I mean, the thing is like it looks different from game one. You know, now, you know, with Justin, not to compare the two, you know, but of course, you know, I'm riding for whoever got on that navy and orange. But, you know, with Justin, you know, it's more so of, you know, him having to see things and having to be coached through things. And maybe it was the coach, and I'm not sure because he's doing okay in Pittsburgh. But I just think with Caleb, you know, it's more of a pure quarterback. you know, like he's not like a, you know, like not the dual threat. Like, okay, so, and this is a totally different sport, but it's the same concept. You know how Chris Paul is a pure point guard, but then you got the Russell Westbrooks and the Derrick Roses of the world. It's more like combo guards, but they're also point guards. Like, it's kind of like that thing where the pure point guard is athletic, but he's more cerebral. So when you look at Caleb Williams is like probably more cerebral, not to say that he's smarter than Justin Fields, anything like that, but he's just more of a pure quarterback. And that's what we're watching before us right now. We're watching a pure quarterback develop. Now, hopefully we don't screw him up. You know, I don't think that we are. Shane Waldron, like I say, I'm consistently saying on every show I get on, hopefully you're in the car next to the show, next to the car listening to the show. Keep it simple. You know, you don't have to reinvent the wheel, man. Keep it simple. Let this guy, you know, learn the game. You know, let him understand what he's seeing. And when you do that, man, I think the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And I'm glad that we're able to watch it in real time, Don. Look forward to talking to you more about the Bears as the season continues. Thanks for the call.
For sure. No problem. Yeah.
All right, let's go. Last one. Tracy on the south side. Tracy, another mainstay. What do you think the score of this Bears game is going to be?
30-12.
How did the Bears get to 30, Tracy?
A special teams touchdown, and the other four, two running, two passing.
Okay, I'm here for it. It's five touchdowns. That'll get us to 35, but close enough. I hear what you say. Special teams puts us in good position. I do think whereas we are all hyper-focused on the growth of Caleb Williams and his maturation, I am equally, if not more, intrigued this Sunday by what the running game will look like. Because you've gotten a small sample size of poor running performance, and then you got a one-game outlier with DeAndre Swift, and I'm curious if game five takes us more to the mean, leans in either direction to pull those up. And I think that, to me, is the interesting component, because DeAndre Swift looked great. And I think another thing that was at play was Caleb Williams' ability to dump the ball off to DeAndre Swift. Now, granted, seven targets, seven receptions, leading the team in both is not something you want to see week in and week out. But it's the NFL. You have to find a new script to defeat said team that's in front of you. And if the script calls for that, then so be it. But I do feel as though incorporating him into the passing game, which some would say is his strength, open field, quickness, can catch, is a strength of his. And if you omit that portion of his game from Sunday, then he's not going to be feeling himself the same way. So the fact that he was able to be involved in both aspects of the running game and the passing game, I think is what really... What was the difference between last weekend and the first three games of the season? And for those that were listening in the beginning, I said, Roshon Johnson is your reverse change of pace back. I remember saying, like, what are we doing? DeAndre Swift is Khalil Herbert. Khalil Herbert is DeAndre Swift. It's the same person. You can't do it. And I said, get Roshon out there. It's going to be weird, but Roshon Johnson is your change of pace back, even though he has a bruising style. But you just have to do it in the grand scheme of the NFL when trying. It's like a pitch. It's like baseball, right? You got your fastball guy, and it's just the same thing. So now that they kind of figured that out, Caleb is able to dump it off. I love it. And hopefully that the Bears can continue. And like Caleb was saying, hopefully they can figure out what their offensive identity is.
Real quick, did you want to – I like Dave's shot at everyone touchdown. So – let's make a parlay of an anytime touchdown. Rome, DJ, Komet, Herbert.
That's too much. I like my money. Even if it was a dollar, I'd say that's too much.
But think about the odds.
That's how I get sucked in. That's how I'm still working here. Because I keep thinking about the odds instead of thinking about what I think is correct. But what are the odds that Derrick Rose gets his jersey lifted to the rafters at the United Center? I think it's 100%. Others clearly live in the suburbs and weren't affected by Derrick Rose the same way that I was. Yes, that was my shot at those that are texting in right now saying no. Oran, did you see you put out the tweet for Derrick Rose and like 20 people put no? that it shouldn't happen.
I didn't even see that. What the heck?
You tweeted out the Mark Schanowski thing about whether or not Derrick Rose
should.
Like 20 people chimed in and said no.
Oh, shame on you people.
That's what I said. So shame we're going to play some players that feel as though Derrick Rose's impact on the NBA, not just the Bulls, is larger than you think, and why they will add an argument as to why his jersey should be hanging from the rafters. We'll do that right before I get up out of here. It's Gabe Ramirez on the score.
As a Bulls fan, what did you think of kind of the rise and fall, like what happened with Derrick and seeing how high he went and then kind of how low things got? How did you look at it from afar?
I mean, Derrick had no lows. He didn't, because he still maintained. And, you know, Derrick is a legend no matter what. Like, I don't like how you explain that.
I meant just how he's
the most Chicago thing ever.
No rise or falls. Injuries is a part of life. Everybody has an injury, you know, either athletics or normal life. But Derrick is, you know, he's one of the best players to ever play the game and one of the best icons in Chicago. So he accomplished his duty already.
The most Chicago thing ever, Jabari Parker. This is Jabari Parker at a press conference being asked the question. It's like, nah, I don't really like it's so Chicago. You answered the question initially because you're in the setting. Yeah, well, you know, actually, there were no struggles with Derrick Rose. And then, like, two sentences, and he's like, matter of fact, I like the way you said that, bro. But it's true. And I play that clip to really highlight what Derrick Rose means to Chicagoans. And I get it. I see the tweets coming in, a lot of them, actually, saying that Derrick Rose's jersey shouldn't be hanging from the rafters at the United Center. I hear you. And the only thing I can think of, the only two things I could think of, is that you are from the burbs. And this is not a shot at the burbs, because I am one of the people now in my late age that I think it's okay if you say, like, if you're from Schaumburg, you say you're from Chicago. I don't mind that. That's okay with me. Because if I go to New York and I get into a fight, I want some Schaumburg people backing me up. You know what I'm saying? So I want us to all be the same. And we're all going to be cheering for the same teams anyway.
We're all friends here. We're all friends.
That's my point. So I'm not taking a shot at the suburbs in that way. I'm more so saying it in a, you didn't identify with Derrick Rose the way that true Chicagoan blue bloods identified with Derrick Rose. When you are able to see someone, I mean, Chicago is really about grit and grind, right? It's success and money and whatever you want to say, it's at your fingertips. It is there for you to see. And if you don't come from a lineage of wealth, right? If you come from poverty or middle class dumb, and you have no silver spoon, and you see Derrick Rose from Chicago, you look at it differently. And Jabari Parker really exemplified that in that statement where it's like, no, he is a legend. He is an icon. The number one with Bulls on top of it means something to people here in the city of Chicago. And it means something to those that played with him as well. Here's Taj Gibson talking about Derrick Rose and what his retirement, how his retirement affected him.
To be honest with you, I was heartbroken. Still heartbroken. I haven't really talked to many people. I haven't even got a chance to post yet. The last few days has just been a blur, just staring at the wall, honestly, staring at the ceiling sometimes, at times, even when I'm in a bed. Just trying to, like, gather everything up, because I know him from a mental standpoint. He's one of the toughest guys in the league. So for him to really call it quits, to really be like, you know what, I'm done, it kind of brought tears to my eyes, because we had these kind of talks throughout our whole career, just being able to whiff last Tibbs and the kind of culture that he's provided for us, the kind of practice atmosphere, just being competitive. And we've been getting that slack, that little slate, knowing that we play a lot. We play really physical. We play hard.
You probably heard more words from Taj Gibson in that little press conference than he did the whole time he was a member of the Chicago Bulls. But another former Bull had something to say about Derrick Rose. Jimmy Butler talked about number one.
I think what he's done for the game of basketball, what he's done for the city of Chicago, for the organization, the Chicago Bulls, and for myself, I think we should all be grateful that we got the opportunity to compete against him. I got to compete with him, you know, be a coach and just learn from him as a whole, man. You know, when I was coming to the league at 21, like, he was the man. He put so much fear in so many other individuals' eyes. And to watch his career come to an end, I'm happy for him because he is happy. He's going on to do whatever he wants to do. But he ended it the way he wanted to.
It just doesn't get better than that for me. Derrick Rose, you know, kid from Chicago, gets to the pinnacle of his particular profession all through hard work and grinding. And he probably, though people helped him along the way, it was him that put in that work. And I think we as Chicagoans, myself included, when you're at a particular job or on your own pathway, you look at Derrick Rose and you say, man, if I put in my work, then I could have success on that same level. So D. Rose, sheesh. Living legend, man. Icon living, just the way that Will Smith's son says. All right. Want to thank my guests for today. Herm Edwards, former NFL head coach, hung out with me. That was great. Got to thank Clay Harbor. You can check us out together on our podcast, Believe in Bears. Tomorrow, we got a new episode dropping. And then Mark Schanowski, of course, for jumping on talking some Bulls. Want to thank my producer today, Tyler Buterbaugh.
You know, we have the wackiest producers, don't we?
But they're the best, though. That we do know for sure. All right, BetMGM tonight is up next. Mi gente. That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time, which will be Saturday on The Better Angle, which can be heard here on 670, The Score. Until next time, my people. Hasta la próxima. I'll see y'all. It's Gabe Ramirez, 670, The Score. Good night.
It's good. It's good. The job is done. We can go home now.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.